Welcome to the Evolving Christian Faith Podcast. Where theology and spirituality embrace reason. Listening to the past, but not enslaved to it. Eyes in the future, hearts grounded in the present. Refusing to look back, lest we turn to salt. The radical perspective, it's in the here and now. What is an authoritative understanding of Scripture? I'm Bo McGuffey, your host of the Evolving Christian Faith Network, where revisionist and radical theologies have a voice. Today is the third and final installment in our series around that very question. My starting point has been Daniel McLeary's three rules, or measures, for a quality reading of Scripture as found in his book, Faith Seeking Understanding. The first two I've already covered in the previous episode, the rules of faith and love. And now I am moving us on to the final measure, the rule of hope. Now, hope can mean a variety of different things to different Christians, and I imagine that for most Christians, it is the hope of getting into heaven that dominates their concern. Heaven, after all, is the symbol that we have for that idealized vision of everything being in concord with God. For other Christians, heaven is talked about more like the kingdom of God, which is really the same utopian vision of the future, only it has a more cosmic than personal emphasis. So not only are we as individuals right with God, but all of creation is made right with God as well. I take an approach to hope that is more for the here and now, more so than it is for the future. I believe that the more we grow into a sense of divine immanence, which is to say the presence of the divine all around us, then the more likely we are to see creation, including other people, as divine. And the more that happens, the more likely we are to interact with others in a loving manner. The more people are able to live in this love, the more heavenly, if you will, existence in the here and now becomes. And I'm going to put a link to a video in my blog that talks more about my vision of hope. Now, keep in mind that we're talking about hope as a measure for an authoritative reading of Scripture. That means that it is one of the things we look at to determine the extent to which a reading is a legitimate interpretation of Scripture. The more that it is out of sync with hope, the more suspect a reading becomes. I think there is a catch here. And that catch is summed up in another question when we're talking about hope. And that question is this: whose hope? Within the church, the tendency is to assume that the hope that we're talking about is some sort of a Christian hope in which the dreams of individual Christians are somehow realized, such as eternal life in heaven. And I don't think this is the case, though. The purpose of the church, arguably, is to be a witness to the gospel, which is the realization that God is love. And to whom does it witness? Those on the outside. And so this, I believe, is the catch to the rule of hope. The insiders don't get to decide whether the interpretation brings hope to the world. Rather, that is for the outsiders to determine. And when I say outsiders, I don't mean those outside of your denomination or your basic theological perspective. I mean those who do not identify as Christians. Faith is something that we live. Love is something that happens. But hope is what we inspire in others, inasmuch as our interpretations are valid. Only the others will be able to say whether they are actually inspired by what we proclaim. So we need to listen to them. And in this way, those who are not a part of the church have an authoritative voice in the church. So what does this mean when the rubber hits the road? It means if non-Christians are saying that an identifiable religious attitude is damaging or dangerous, then it probably means that that interpretation of Christian truth has somehow missed the point. If, on the other hand, non-Christians are saying that the particular Christian attitude gives them hope for the future, as in, if everybody were like that, the world would be a better place, then that posture is successfully conveying truly good news and is probably pointed in the right direction. In short, the rule of hope is this: does what you do bring genuine hope to others? Does it inspire them? Does it present them a whole new vision of what humanity can become? Anyway, that's my interpretation of the three rules of scriptural interpretation presented by Daniel Migliori. I really like these rules that he has highlighted. What they don't do is they don't give us those hard and fast answers that too often we're looking for, but rather those rules make us face very difficult questions. Different people in different times and in different places can come up with equally legitimate, albeit different, answers. There is room for diversity in this. There's room for growth. And yet, we still have a strong guide. I have a sneaking suspicion, however, that he probably wouldn't take them in the direction that I have. And part of our disagreement may stem from where we each begin. You see, Migliori argues that in order for an interpretation to be valid, it has to happen within the context of Christian community as a community of interpretation. And so communal interpretation, also known as what the church or denomination believes, trumps personal interpretation. The interpretive community is the condition for faithful interpretation. Or as he states, and I quote this, a mature reading and interpretation of Scripture thus presupposes a participation in the worship and the life of the community of faith and its rules of interpretation. And I end the quote there. Okay, here we go. First, I want to acknowledge that I think I understand Migliori's primary concern. If you read Scripture in a way that is subservient to mainline community norms, then it's really difficult to become a literalist, let alone a fundamentalist. Remember, basic biblical and historical scholarship are part of the tradition that makes up the Christian community. If one just picks up the Bible and doesn't have a context to ground it in, then the likelihood of just simply accepting it as God's unwavering revelation to the world increases significantly. It's an understandable concern, and in many respects, I share this concern. Yet, if anyone in a mainline Christian community should be an example of someone who reads Scripture as Migliori suggests, it would be pastors. And given the number of pastors who exhibit literalist and fundamentalist tendencies, even within my own denomination, I think it's safe to say that Migliori's prescription here simply isn't working. In fact, what I suspect is actually happening is that those who do indeed take the biblical and historical scholarship seriously, they're finding themselves to be too at odds with the dogmatic Christian communities that they are in. And they feel as though they have to leave them in order to grow or even feel comfortable anymore. I think where Migliori stumbles is in his definition of Christian community, which is according to a traditional church understanding. Christian community is a reference to those intentional communities through time and space that have identified as specifically part of the Christian tradition. In other words, it means specifically the church. In contrast, I don't believe that the Christian calling is to join the church community. I believe the Christian calling is one that draws us to participate more fully in the human community. This means that we need to read the story of Jesus not only in light of Christian tradition, but also in light of the traditions of other religions as well, to help gain insight into who we are meant to become. We need to read it in light of current politics. We need to read it in light of the variety of experiences we have had with others. Can this happen inside the church? Yes, but it can also happen outside of it. And this has to be taken into account. And I don't think that Migliori takes that into account well enough. But then again, that just means that we understand things differently. And that is part of the beauty of life. So, how do we read Scripture faithfully? How do we measure how authoritative a reading is? Well, the rule of faith asks us, does the interpretation stretch what it means to be human? The rule of love asks us, does the interpretation lead you to a lifestyle that is other-centered, justice-oriented, and self-giving? And the rule of hope asks, do the non-Christians around you believe that what you say and what you do inspires them? Anyway, that's my reinterpretation of Migliori's three rules. What I haven't done, however, and you may have noticed this, is address the question, what is Scripture? We will have to save that one for another time. Thank you very much for spending time with me. If you're interested in finding out more about what I'm all about, please check out my blog, which is at evolvingchristianfaith.net. And if you are so inclined, you might want to pick up my book, which is Drinking from an Empty Glass, Living Out of a Meaningless Spirituality. So again, thank you very much for spending time with me, and I'm Bo McGuffey with the Evolving Christian Faith Network. Until next time, peace.